This message comes from NPR sponsor, American Express. Take your business further with the smart and flexible Amex Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits that help unlock more value from your business purchases. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
You're listening to Shortwave from NPR. Hey, everybody. Maddie Sofia here with Shortwave reporter Emily Kwong.
Heyo. So today we have a listener questions episode.
Whoop, whoop. I genuinely love trying to answer all of your questions. And this one is all about influenza, a.k.a. the flu.
The flu infects a lot of people every year. It's hard to say just how many, but according to the CDC's current estimate, between 37 and 43 million people in the United States got infected last flu season.
Wild.
That's roughly the population of the entire state of California.
Right. And year after year, we have this battle with the flu. And that's partially because there are a lot of flu viruses out there, and they are constantly changing. So here's how that works. When the flu makes little copies of itself, which it does over and over really fast, there can be mutations in their DNA that can kind of change the virus enough that our bodies can't recognize it anymore, or a vaccine doesn't work against it. And that's one of the reasons why we have to get the flu vaccine every single year.
There's constantly this changing of flu viruses that render people over time susceptible to getting reinfected. So it's sort of like evolution on a really fast scale.
That's Dr. Nicole Bouvier. She works at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. Dr. Bouvier, you treat patients, but you also do research on the flu as well, right?
I do.
That's kind of like showing off a little bit at this point.
Well, it's the best of both worlds, I think, because I really like patients, but I don't like waking up early. So the lab is perfect for that.
So today on the show, we'll be answering your questions about how to tell if you have the flu, what's up with the flu vaccine, and why you shouldn't freak out if your arm hurts after getting the flu shot.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Schizophrenia and Psychosis Action Alliance, working to shatter barriers to treatment, survival, and recovery so that people with schizophrenia can thrive. They're one of the few advocacy organizations focused only on schizophrenia and psychosis, and as a result, have a deep understanding of this brain disease. They actively partner with like-minded organizations to conduct research, improve access to resources, and empower individuals with schizophrenia and their families. More at WeCanThrive.org. Support for NPR and the following message come from the American Cancer Society. Dr. Alpa Patel leads a team that researches cancer risk factors, and she shares how her team makes an impact.
We always do what we like to think of as actionable science. So the work that we do makes its way to things like nutrition and physical activity guidelines for cancer.org, where millions of people come each year to learn about how they can better prevent cancer.
To learn more, go to cancer.org.
Okay, Emily, our first listener question is all about figuring out whether or not you actually have the flu.
Achoo!
Okay.
Just kidding. I'm fine. Go on.
Hello, NPR. This is Pilani Mpofu. What distinguishes a flu from a common cold?
Okay, so what makes the flu different than the common cold?
So the first thing to know is that the flu and the cold are caused by different viruses, right? But they're both respiratory infections, meaning they affect your mouth and lungs and nose, like where air is exchanged. And the cold pretty much only messes with you in that area. Here's what Dr. Bouvier said.
So all the symptoms that you experience, things like a runny nose or a sore throat, sneezing, coughing, they're all sort of referable directly to the respiratory tract.
But the flu is much worse than the common cold, right?
Right. The flu is garbage. It doesn't just stop at your respiratory tract. It, like, takes it all around the building.
Oh, dear.
So with influenza, you get sort of what we call systemic symptoms, which are things like fever, lethargy, not feeling like eating, feeling like you get hit by a truck, muscle aches,
accurate.
Headaches,
mm-hmm.
that really with a common cold, you tend not to get.
Right. And the flu sometimes also kind of has a fever where the cold, you wouldn't necessarily.
Yeah. So that's fever is sort of the cardinal systemic symptom that we look for with influenza.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's so common that in flu season, you know, when you know that flu is circulating in your community, if somebody has a fever and a cough, they have something like an 80% likelihood of having influenza.
Okay, next question. What do we got?
Okay, Kwong, here's a question for you. What's the best way to prevent the flu?
I know this. It's the flu shot. I did receive mine this year.
Yes. Nailed it. That's what the CDC says. They're like, go get your flu shot. And a lot of our listeners were asking us about the safety of the flu shot. And we're talking like the needle in the arm flu shot kind. So I asked Dr. Bouvier about it. So can you get the flu from the flu shot?
No.
Okay. Why is that?
So the process of making a flu shot starts with actual real live viruses that are used to infect eggs, because mm-hmm. they grow very well in eggs.
Right.
But the processing of the eggs after the virus has grown involves multiple steps of killing the virus, separating the virus into tiny little bits and pieces, and then scooping out the bits that are important for the vaccine mm-hmm. so that after all that process is done, there's no virus left.
And even if there was, right, you're putting it in your arm,
right.
which is like there's no arm flu out there.
Exactly. Influenza viruses are designed or optimized to infect your respiratory tract. If you put them somewhere else, they're not going to do what they do. They're not going to be able to grow the same way that they are in your respiratory tract, and you're not going to get the symptoms that you get.
So, bottom line, the flu shot, it's pretty impossible to get the flu from it, is what I'm gathering.
Completely impossible.
Okay, got it. What else do our dear shortwave listeners want to know about the flu?
Okay, this question comes from Laura Sims in Lilburn, Georgia.
So I got the shot a couple weeks ago, didn't hurt, no big deal. A couple hours later, pain radiated all the way up to my shoulder and it stayed that way for almost a day. So what's happening after the injection that is making my arm sore?
So I asked Dr. Bouvier in a very professional manner, is it because you've just been stabbed in the arm?
That's part of it. I mean, the needle is quite small. Mm-hmm. But you are putting a small amount of liquid into a small volume into a place that normally doesn't have something in it.
So the other thing is you're essentially providing like little chunks of this virus to your immune system in your muscle. So in some cases, the symptoms that you experience after getting the flu shot are actually signs that your immune system is recognizing and adapting to those viral particles in the vaccine. And that's actually a good thing.
So for instance, if you get a fever after a vaccine, it doesn't mean that you've gotten the flu from the flu vaccine. It means that your immune system is responding appropriately to the pathogen and sending out the alert signals to other parts of your immune system that then cause you to have a fever.
Right. So you shouldn't freak out if you feel alert.
Not at all.
Awesome.
So when my arm hurts after the flu shot, which it did this year, I should have just kissed my arm and been proud of my immune system.
You should have. You should be, Kwong. Proud.
Okay. So our next set of questions were really interesting. Basically, how the flu shot is made and how effective it is.
So remember how I said there are lots of types of flu virus out there?
Yeah.
Taylor Trevathan from Greenville, South Carolina here. And what I've always wondered is how do epidemiologists determine what strains of flu to vaccinate against?
So a lot of that is led by the World Health Organization. Mm-hmm. The WHO has influenza surveillance sites throughout the whole world, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, all over the place. And what these sites do is they sample flu viruses from people.
Wow.
And they characterize them in terms of what kind of immune response you would need in order to prevent yourself from getting that virus. And also they do sequencing to look at the genetic code of the virus. Mm-hmm. And twice a year, once for the Northern Hemisphere and once for the Southern Hemisphere, WHO convenes an expert panel of these surveillance sites and everybody shares their data and they try to sort of make essentially an educated guess as to where the virus is going and what will show up the next winter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the only thing that's predictable about flu is that it's unpredictable. And we do our best, but we don't always get it 100% right.
Relatable. Hashtag shortwave.
This is fascinating, but how effective is the eventual vaccine once it's made in actually preventing people from getting the flu?
So it's like a huge range,
okay.
Right? The CDC says it generally lands somewhere in the 40 to 60% range when we've picked the right strains of flu to vaccinate against.
40 to 60% effective?
Yeah. So let's say we're having a good year, right? Like a 50% year.
Okay.
It's a little bit more complicated than this, but basically of all the people that got the flu shot and mm-hmm. then got exposed to the virus, half of them would get sick.
Oh, got it. Although I have to say it's not as good as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, like we talked about, the flu is really tricky. It's a sneaky little snake that changes its proteins so we can't recognize it. And the same goes for the vaccine. But what I really liked about talking to Dr. Bouvier is the way she was really frank with us about how good the flu shot is. She basically said, like, look, it is not perfect, but it is certainly better than not getting it. So if the flu shot can't protect you from all strains of the flu, why should we get it?
So what the flu shot can do is it can prevent a certain proportion of people from getting flu at all.
Right.
And in the people who still get flu despite having the flu shot, it actually can make you less sick than you would have been if you didn't get the flu shot at all. You know, if you were going to be in bed for 3 days, you might be in bed for 2 days.
Right. So you, even if you get the flu after the flu shot, you're going to feel potentially less like garbage.
Yes.
I'm on board with not feeling like garbage.
Yeah. That's the goal. And it's mostly been shown in patients that are at a really high risk of complications because that's easier to study. But doctors like Dr. Bouvier think that's probably true for healthy young folks just like you, Emily.
You know, the other reason to get a flu shot if you are young and healthy and don't think getting flu is a big deal is that you are the person who could be passing the virus on to somebody for whom it could be a big deal. Like, you know, your 90-year-old grandmother or your sister's brand new baby or your aunt who has cancer. And those people who are at higher risk of complications, you don't want to be the one who then goes ahead and gives them the flu. And that's something that young, healthy people don't always think about, but it is actually a really important part of vaccination, is that you're not just protecting yourself, you're protecting other people who either can't get the vaccine themselves or, for whatever reason, they won't respond to it quite as well.
So thank you to Dr. Bouvier for walking us through some flu questions from you all, the listeners.
And thank you, listeners, for sending in questions to prompt this episode.
If you have questions that you would like us to answer, you can email us at shortwave@npr.org.
I'm Emily Kwong.
And I'm Maddie Sofia.
And this episode was produced by Britt Hansen and edited by Viet Le.
Get your flu shot, Viet. This has been NPR Shortwave. We'll see you tomorrow.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.